As churches across the world prepare for the beginning of the Lenten season, representatives of bishops' conferences, Christian movements and ecumenical organizations across Europe have been meeting in the German town of Wittenberg, birthplace of the Reformation. The delegates from 44 nations and all different Christian traditions have been looking ahead to the third European Ecumenical Assembly to be held in Romania at the beginning of September. The four-day preparatory meeting, which ended on Sunday, focused on secularization as a challenge for all the churches, the place of Catholic and Protestant theology in the ecumenical movement, and reconciliation as a key to Christian unity. At the end of the meeting, participants issued a letter to all Christians throughout Europe, calling on them to open their hearts to the light of Christ and bring justice and hope to the continent.
It's in the interest of Europe as a whole that we actually do work together and do promote the Christian gospel.
Among those addressing the meeting was Irish Father Padraig Murphy, Ecumenical Director for the Diocese of Armagh.
I think coming to a greater understanding, I think we realise with this preparation for the Third European Ecumenical Assembly, the great impetus has been actually on highlighting the fact that as churches together in Ireland, we should promote the Christian gospel, that we're living in a more secularized society, and that it's in the interest of all of us to work together to make the Christian message known.
This is a particularly challenging time, isn't it, for the churches as a whole in Ireland, coming from such a very strong faith background to suddenly a very secular society?
Yeah, I think Ireland is simply just mirroring what has happened in other parts of the world. We're not much different in that respect. We may be a step or two behind, but we tend to mirror exactly the trends that have gone on elsewhere.
You're also talking about the experience of immigration into Ireland for the first time. Ireland, of course, having been previously a country of emigration. What effect is this having on the church or on the churches?
Well, in particular, in all of the churches, like, you know, whether it's the Catholic Church or the Protestant denominations in Ireland, they've all experienced this influx of people from Europe and different than Africa. And that has had an impact on congregations. We now have a situation where in many Irish dioceses, or at least in my own Archdiocese of Armagh, the own diocese that I belong to, where we've had a Polish chaplain appointed and a Lithuanian chaplain appointed with a number of dioceses. And I know in other parts of the country they have chaplains for Africans, for those from Africa. So the situation has now emerged that there's such an influx of people coming up from abroad that we find it actually that we have to address that situation. How do we care pastorally for them?
If we look back over the recent history of Ireland, of course, the churches had quite a rich and powerful experience of working together throughout the times of the Troubles, didn't they, to try and bring people together across this terrible political divide.
Well, I think in the dark days of what are euphemistically called the Troubles in Ireland, the churches were maybe beacons of light to people. People sought solace and guidance from the churches, and I think they witnessed to the fact, like, you know, that there was something better on offer. It may have taken time. Very often the conflict in Ireland, for at least from those from outside, traditionally had been represented as a conflict of religious conviction or a conflict of religious denominations. But really, maybe it was maybe more a conflict of political ideologies than of religious ideology. But I think the churches worked together, right back from the late 60s, worked together to try and promote understanding and mutual respect. And I think that has borne fruit, although very often, again, I don't think the churches actually have received the acknowledgement for that work.
How do you think it's possible today, though, for people within the Catholic and the Protestant tradition to draw on this experience of the past years?
Well, I think looking back, actually, they can see what the situation was like, and they can see the benefits of actually cooperating together. And I think that's important, even at times when I think secularization, of course, is facing all the churches. That's an experience that we are all encountering at the moment. But I think it's important for us to continue working together and presenting Christian message, even in the face of criticism, in the face of a creeping secularization. It is important that we're seen to be working hand in hand.
What would you say gives you most hope in this sense at the moment?
It's very difficult, I suppose, to think of maybe individual stories, like, you know, but there was one I heard some time ago at a diocesan pastoral meeting, and a particular man commented about how when he was very young, he came from a Catholic background, and he was obliged to go to a specialised hospital in Belfast. So this is many, many years ago, before the Second Vatican Council. But his family were not very wealthy, and of course he seldom saw his parents because they just couldn't afford to go make the journey to visit him. But next to him in the bed in the hospital was a man, a young Protestant man from the Shankill Road in Belfast, whose parents would have come in regularly because they had lived closer to the hospital. But every time they came in, they brought something to this Catholic boy. And he said even after 65 years, he always remembered that kindness shown to him. And it spurred him on to respecting and working for respect, mutual respect among the different denominations in Ireland. And you've so many other stories like that where people, you know, who've worked and lived side by side, and they do respect each other. Like, you know, sadly, maybe the troubles highlighted more the meaning aspect of human nature. But I think, by and large, I think in Ireland, we have that experience in the past where we worked together, and I think we can continue to do so. With greater opportunities in education in the last 20 years, a lot of prejudice, I think, have gradually evaporated.
Looking at some of the other issues that you've been discussing in this preparation for the Ecumenical Assembly, I see the question of suicide and mental health issues here. Talk us a bit more through that, if you can.
Yeah, that's something which all of the churches in Ireland actually have faced. We in Ireland, I think, we have a very high rate of suicide of young male adults. And it was felt that's an issue that we needed to discuss, like, you know, pastoral approach to it, like, and so on. It's difficult. I think suicide is a very, very difficult thing. I think in all of the churches we've experienced it, it is difficult to address. We feel on the one side, it is very important to emphasize the sanctity of human life, and that human life, it's not in the gift of anybody to take their own life or to take anyone else's life. And trying to balance that, the traditional church teaching, with a pastoral approach to families who have experienced one of their members dying by suicide. And it tends to be a very harrowing experience. And I think we felt again, like, you know, this is somewhere where the churches together can try and address the issue, or at least maybe promote a greater understanding of the sanctity of life and the importance of life. We did feel like, you know, that people maybe have despaired. Ireland, of course, has experienced phenomenal economic growth. And one of the downsides of the so-called Celtic Tiger is that many young men have despaired if they're not measuring up or if they're not achieving wealth or position in society, that they feel that somehow they've let themselves down and let their families down. And some have resorted, as I said, to taking their own lives, or many resorted to other problems, like, you know, drugs and so on.
There is a very serious drug problem, isn't there? An increasingly serious drug problem amongst young people in Ireland today.
Well, particularly in the large urban areas, yeah. It's something that actually, again, it's something I think we're mirroring the problems in some other countries, some other urban areas. It is a problem, and unfortunately, I know in Northern Ireland, the perception is that maybe some people who had been involved in paramilitary activities in the past are now involved in drug dealing.
Do you feel that priests and religious lay people also are responding adequately to this, being present among the people, the most vulnerable sectors of society there?
I think by and large, yes. With the limited resources that the churches have, they have been very much at the forefront of trying to deal with these situations. But of course, then you also have medical expertise now, which, say, 20, 30 years ago, you wouldn't have had, would have been left to. People are more likely now to go to be referred to professional counsellors, whereas in former days they may have come to discuss these things with the local priest or minister.
You're looking ahead, as I say, to this meeting in Romania. What really are your hopes, your expectations ahead of this meeting? What do you hope can come out of it?
The one thing that, because of, first of all, the location, the fact that it's taking place in Romania, in a predominantly Orthodox country, that's the first time it has taken place. And so this, of course, is, as I say, the third European Ecumenical Assembly. 10 years ago, the assembly took place in Graz, in Austria. It's a predominantly Catholic country. And the first one took place in Basel, in Switzerland, in the area of the Reformation countries. So I think each venue is given a different experience of its own. I think Sibiu in Romania will more or less, well, for those of us who come from Western Europe, will show us something of the richness of the Orthodox churches. And maybe realize, like, you know, that we are, aside from working again, that we can work together. The fact that we are, it's in the interest of Europe as a whole, that we actually do work together and do promote the Christian gospel.
And my thanks there to Father Padraig Murphy, Ecumenical Director for the Diocese of Armagh.